so thankful that you're with us today and enjoying the sunshine. It's kind of hard to be inside watching Super Bowl when you got a day like this. If it was pouring down rain, perfectly easy to do. But anyway, I got an idea some of us will be enjoying that game anyway, all right? You know, there's something very unique about the relationship between a son and his mother. All through history. You can go back in history as far as you can possibly find it, and you will find that unique relationship there. Something about it that just makes it very special. You ever watch a football game and the cameras zoom in on a particular player and he sees himself on the big screen? He turns, smiles, then he says, "What? Hi, Mom." They never say, "Hi, Dad." They never say that. Sitting in a courtroom. Everybody else is gone. The only people left is the defendant, his attorney, and his mom. It's not that he thinks, she thinks that he's not guilty. That's not it at all. In fact, she probably knows he is guilty. But she wants him to know, in spite of your guilt, in spite of your actions, I love you. And you're still mine. Who could forget the mother of Sean Smith? I don't know if that name sounds familiar to you or not. But he was one of the individuals who lost his life at Benghazi. That happened in 2012. 3 years later, she is still relentlessly trying to find the answers. What happened to my son? Why can't I find the answers? Why doesn't somebody tell me the truth? So really, when you think about that, you think about that father or that mother-son relationship, it's not too surprising to find a woman in the crowd who has heard Jesus speak, has watched him do miracles, and has really focused on this young man. And suddenly, totally out of control, she says, "Blessed is the woman who bore you and whose breast you nursed." In essence, what she's saying is, you have made your mom proud. You have made your mother so proud that it's just great that she was the one that bore you, and you were the one that she raised. Now, Jesus' response to this woman is in no way a reflection on Mary. I'm assuming, and it's just an assumption on my part, I'm assuming that Mary is there. After all, she seems to be following him around wherever he went. So I'm assuming that Mary was probably in the crowd. She heard the words that that woman said, and maybe she beamed a little. Mary is going to follow Jesus all the way to the cross, to when he hung upon that cross And he looked down and saw his mother. And he sees John. And he says, John, behold your mother. And he looks to Mary, behold your son. And from that time on, the Apostle John takes her into his house and cares for her. She may very well have witnessed a lot of his suffering. When Jesus was at Jerusalem, Simeon had this to say, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul. Simeon is telling Mary, you've got some heartbreak coming. Your son is going to do great things for the rise and fall of many in Israel. But you're going to suffer. And so we would say, as a great a blessing as it was to bring the Savior into the world, and certainly Mary was blessed with that, Jesus pronounces an even greater blessing on those who hear the word and obey it. Jesus' words are simple. On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Now, the word observe simply means to obey. And what Jesus is telling everybody in that crowd is not that his mother is not blessed in her own right. But those of you that hear the word and obey it receive the greater blessing. We sometimes read our Bibles and we think, you know, I wonder how, you know, that was, it must have been great to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, let me be very clear. No, it wasn't. It wasn't fun walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We look back a couple of thousand years later, and we have this Pollyanna view of how things were in that first century world. But one of the things that Jesus says here is that you are a blessed people if you hear the word and observe it. And one reason is because we are in God's family. Matthew chapter 12, 46 through 50. Your mother and your brothers are out here looking for you. Jesus said, who is my mother and my brothers but they that do the will of my Father? What a blessing. Bill Gaither wrote a hymn that captures the essence of family. And I love verse 2. From the doors of an orphanage to the house of a king. Can you imagine that? From the doors of an orphanage to the house of a king, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the rich to the poor. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. Isn't that a great blessing? No, I'm not worthy to be here, but thank God, I belong. There's no greater blessing than being part of a family. was walking through the airport in Eugene. And as I walked through that airport, I saw pictures of kids. There must have been 8 or 10 pictures, and they were big pictures. They were not small pictures. It was Christmas time. And those kids had no family. I stood there, and I looked at those kids, all of them smiling, just wanting somebody to be family for them. I thought, you know, I wished I could just take every picture off this wall, take these kids home. So that they would know what a family is. Sometimes we talk about family. And we talk about family in a good way. I'm not suggesting we don't. But being family is a precious thing. So what does it mean to be part of God's family? First of all, we have a Father who loves us. John writes in 1 John, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are." 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. What a great blessing, John says, that God would tell us that we're children of His, and that's exactly what we are. You see, I don't know if you've ever not had someone that called you his child or her child. But if you haven't, this passage may not mean a lot to you. But in reality, what God is saying, or John is writing, is he's expressing something that just is beyond the ability to understand. That God would call us His children. Now, I know the word father has different connotations for many of us. For some, it brings memories of great things. Fishing trips, hiking trips, projects, whatever. But I also know for some, not so much. For some, it brings us memories of things we'd like to forget. And it's painful to think that one who is the provider, the protector, the family hero is anything but that. But I want you to know the Bible speaks of God's love for you. Tom Albright, retired professor, retired preacher, wrote a little booklet. It wasn't very big, but it was a treasure. And it was entitled God Loves Forever. There's never a time when God doesn't love. There's never a time when you can so mess up that God doesn't love. There's never a time that you drift so far away that God doesn't love. God loves forever. What a great blessing that is. It's not something to take advantage of. It's not something to abuse. But it's something that when we just flat out blow it, we want to come back to God. And we feel that God is going to reject us. Why would He forgive me? I've done this too many times. Why in the world wouldn't He just reject? And the reason? Because God loves forever. We have a brother on our side. Jesus stepped down to become one of us. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. The Hebrew writer says he's not ashamed to call us his brothers. In chapter 2 verses 14 through 18, therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. And when Jesus went back to the right hand of the Father, he went back as our high priest. It's language that I think we can probably understand. Hebrews 9, 11 through 14. That Jesus went as a high priest, took the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, not made with hands, there offered his own blood in order that we might have redemption. He became our mediator, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. In order to be a mediator, the individual who serves in that particular role needs to be able to identify with both parties. That's why nobody could be a mediator for you when it comes to God. Jesus is that mediator. I can pray for you. Glenn can pray for you. The elders can pray for you. But I'm going to tell you, you can pray for yourself because there is a mediator between you and God, and it's the man Christ Jesus. But he's also your intercessor. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Jesus intercedes for us. He's our lawyer. He's our attorney. He goes before God and he pleads our case. What a blessing. What a blessing to have Jesus going before God on our behalf because he knows us. And he knows God. We have God's Spirit dwelling within. God takes up residence in those who surrender to him. Acts chapter 2. God's Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, is our guarantee of eternity. Listen, someone asked you, are you going to go to heaven? You respond by saying, absolutely, I'm going to heaven. Well, how do you know that? Because God's Spirit is within me, and that's the down payment, that's the promise that God is going to take me home with Him. I want you to live with that confidence. Well, I was up in Seattle. We had a lady that, she was a delightful person. She was elderly. And her days were coming to an end. And I didn't know how long she had. But I went up to see her, visited with her for a while. And I said, you know, I know this isn't easy for you, but I hope you understand that you've got eternity with God waiting for you. Her response was, tears coming down her cheek, I hope I'm good enough. I thought, is this what we've done to ourselves? That we have actually got someone who's done her best to live a Christian life, and here she is closing in on death, and she says, I hope I'm good enough. Is that how you feel? There are some hymns that we sing that kind of leave that impression. And the writer didn't intend to do that, I'm sure of that. But I want you to know that when you became a child of God, and when you walk by faith, and you trust Him in all things, you are faithful to Him. You don't need to be afraid of death. In fact, invite it. I mean, not be a masochist, but I'm not suggesting that. But you know what? You've got a great, great home in heaven waiting for you. Just like that lady had. God's Spirit lives within us. He works in us, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. And His Spirit is aiding us in our weaknesses, Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. He intercedes for us, the Bible says, with groanings too deep for words. In other words, He can't express them. We have a Father who loves us, a brother who is not ashamed of us. Isn't that great? I got a brother who's not ashamed of me. None of my brothers were ashamed of me. But maybe you had a brother that was ashamed of me. But I got to tell you, Jesus is not ashamed. And we have a Spirit who dwells within. No wonder Jesus would say, blessed. On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word and observe it. The second reason we're blessed is because we receive all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. You cannot read Ephesians chapter 1 and walk away not feeling blessed. Just a quick rundown. You were chosen. You were adopted. You were redeemed. You were given the mystery. You have an inheritance. And you were sealed. These gifts, let me tell you, these gifts are very precious. It is something that is so precious, is beyond monetary value. You don't just throw this away. When we walk away from God, we're saying the blessings don't mean anything to us. And I know better than that. We know those blessings mean something to us. And when we consider how valuable the blessings, we're careful to keep them and thank God for them because they belong to you. And this is one thing I know for a fact. You can take this to the bank. Satan has nothing to offer in comparison. He may show you a lot of goodies, a lot of thrills, and a lot of, oh man, that looks great kind of stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. It pales in comparison to the blessings that God has given us in Christ Jesus. And these gifts are eternal. No one can make you forfeit these gifts. Nothing can separate you from God's love, Romans chapter 8. And no matter what you've done, God is always ready to forgive. And these gifts are free. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glory, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us. You know what the word lavish means. Lavish means such a great an abundance that you can't measure it. God lavishes you with great blessings. So what makes these gifts so gracious? Cost us nothing. But they cost God everything. He paid the price. But we're blessed because we all belong. I mentioned this earlier in the hymn, "Thank God I Belong." There's another hymn titled "Boundless Love." And there's a line in that song in which the writer says, "I can't believe that He selected me." Oh, I love that line. "I can't believe that He selected me." Have you ever been selected above everybody else? And you say, "Oh, probably not." Yes, you were. When your wife selected you, she selected you above everybody else. When you selected her, you selected her above everybody else. God selected you. Glory in that truth. Wrap your hands around that great truth, knowing that God has selected you. And we belong not on the basis of who or what we are, but by God's wonderful grace, which He lavished upon us. And we belong because we were called. The church is the called out. That's what the word church means. It means a called out body of disciples. We were called out of darkness. We were called out of a sinful lifestyle. And we were called from death to life. That's what happened when you gave yourself to Jesus Christ. When you decided that this life in this world is not worth living anymore, and you gave your life to Jesus Christ, you went from death to life. And you went from darkness to light. And it's also because we were made acceptable. We have a new set of clothing. It's called the garment of righteousness. That garment of righteousness that God gives us. We have a new mind. A new mind that's focused on God. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I can't leave the house. Or if I do, I can't leave my office without asking God, "God, focus my mind on You." Because there is so much noise out there. People demanding to have your attention. And I want to encourage you, get your focus on God. And we have a new life. Our values have changed, all by the blood of Jesus. And also because you're a unique creation. You know I've spoken often on that. But in a world where we feel we must measure up, you need to know you have measured up. When God called you out of darkness into light, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, you measured up. And you measured up because God created you. No one should ever feel inferior or superior. He created you to be all that you can be. He created you to bring glory to His name. And I want you to know this. God did not create you to spend eternity in hell. Okay? He didn't create you for that. He created you to spend eternity with Him. And I hope that's where you are today. I hope you've given your life to Jesus Christ and you know those blessings. And I want you to walk out of here with your head held high, feeling good about who you are, what you are, and knowing that it doesn't matter what tomorrow brings, because God has made everything good for you. If you've not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you don't belong to the family of God, I pray that you'll give your life to Him while together we stand and sing.